Ari to come on up. I believe he's got a headset today, so I don't have to. You don't have to use this thing. Maury, thanks, man.
What's going on, Jared?
I'm just going to let you go. Okay. All right. If you put this right in the middle, it'll block that camera. I just found out. So don't do that.
All right. Are we on? There we go. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
I forgot to do something.
Oh, he's got to do something. We'll do it.
This is why we need Jim. So all the kids
up through fifth grade. Thank you, Ashley. Ashley's back there at the door in her blue t-shirt. Wave. All right, you can go with Ashley if you'd like. 3 years through fifth grade, and our nursery is open too. So if you want to take a moment and scoot out to the nursery, you can do that. So thanks, Maury. Sorry for the interruption.
No, Jared, hey, it's your deal. I'm a little hot up here. It's a little touch of feedback, guys. But hey, good morning. Great to be in Bismarck, North Dakota again. I brought my lovely wife. Actually, she brought me. I'm the tag along this weekend because we were here for the BHS-CHS St. Mary's High School reunion. So, Linda, come on up here. Come on up. And where did that mic go, Jared, that you just had?
Oh, it's on the music stand.
On the music stand, because I got to give Linda a mic. Here you go, hon. Oh, that's a big step. We're missing a step here. I seem to remember a step being there. Here we go, hon. On.
Okay.
Say hi to everybody.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? It's good to see you. It's good to be back. Oh, yeah.
That's what we like, a little interaction, a little interactive feedback.
Yeah.
You want me to keep going?
Sure. What else do you want to say?
I just want to say thank you for the years that we had here with you. From 1997 to 2011, you loved us so well. I am so grateful for that time and the friendships that endured during that time. You walked by our side with Peter as he went through his challenges, our oldest son, one son and two girls, and while during Maury's deployments also. Thank you for your love and support. We are happily settled in Texas and actually moving in a week closer to Austin. Maury served at Fort Hood for a good 8 years, and during that time, I supported him in so many different ways as he served in the military. I recently went back and got my master's degree in marriage and family therapy, so I have my own practice, and I love that, with an emphasis helping folks with addiction issues. And God prepared me for a lifetime to do that. So we're happy, our three kids and their families, and we have two grandsons. They're all going to be within 30 minutes of us here down in Texas. So it is great to be here. I love you, and I bless you. Thank you for your love for me in those years, and I look forward to anybody who wants to come and bring your own lunch afterwards in the commons area. God bless you.
Thanks, sweetheart. So we brought Arlene and Jay here too. Arlene is Linda's sister, Jay her husband, and they're from Minneapolis, but grew up here, and we're just a joy to spend time with them. We'll be back in August. We'll be back in Minneapolis in August if anybody's in Minneapolis, St. Paul. But hey, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Maury. I was the pastor here from 1997 to 2011. I followed Ron Klein. Ron Klein was pastoring here for a couple years. Where's Ron at? There's Ron. And Ron and I had a great partnership in the gospel. So my theme here for part one, there's two sermons in two parts today. Part one, gratitude. I'm going to run down the gratitude and family update with you. But Ron, I'm especially grateful for our partnership, friendship in the gospel. And before that was Don DeCook. Don DeCook was here 23 years. Everybody knows that, right? 23 years. In fact, when the elders were interviewing me to come here and be their pastor in Bismarck, they said, well, how long are you going to be here if we call you to be the pastor? And I didn't want to be too presumptuous and say like too many years, but I didn't want to sound flaky and not enough years. So I said, well, how does 10 years sound? And Clarence Berg, y'all remember Clarence, right? Clarence says, 10 years, that's it? The cook was here for 23 years. I'm thinking, 23 years, good Lord, that's half my life, right? You know, I got another life somewhere back in Texas. But our years here were fabulous, great years, 14 years of ministry with you. And that partly shapes the message that I have for you today on unity in the church. But just so grateful for our friendships, looking around the room, our partnerships with all of you over the years. And what Linda said is really key. You know, when we went through our struggles as a family, particularly with our kids, you never threw rocks at us. Thank you for that. Thank you that you never threw rocks at us. You could have easily criticized me. Oh, I can't control his own household. Could have kind of grumbled and complained and picked on us, but you never did that. And so thank you for that. We're really grateful for the friendships, the partnerships with you over the years. And now Jared comes along, and he's leading forth the charge. God bless you, brother. We stay in touch. We watch the little camera here. I call it the knee cam. It's like a knee shot, you know. The knee cam, watching you on Facebook, and the little Theology with Pastor Jared updates. We watch those, and just enjoy all those updates. But great to see everybody here. Hey, here's what's going on with our family. I guess I've got the clicker. So we left here in 2011. That's us on the left. We moved to Fort Hood, Texas. I went active duty with the Army. And that's us on Easter Sunday this year. That's the family as it is now on the right. So Linda and I have three kids, Peter, Amory, Holly. Peter married Diane. We'll get into that in a minute. They have two sons, our grandsons. Holly married Gabriel. No kids yet. Amory is still looking for her husband and living her life large in Round Rock, Texas. So we're all right there in Central Texas. That's me and the Army stuff. But Linda, over the last few years, y'all know she was a piano teacher when we lived up here, right? She taught piano in our home, taught a lot of your kids. Anybody in here learned piano from, or your kids had piano with Linda? Okay, there's a couple hands over there. Any over here? There's one over there. Great. And there's some in the back. So Linda had a piano business. So, you know, all her adult life, about once a year, she would say, you know, maybe I should go get my master's in marriage and family therapy. Oh, but we can't afford it, or we don't have time, or, you know, she'd always say these different reasons. And one time about, what, 5-6 years ago, we were in the kitchen, and she says, you know, I'd like to get my master's, but, you know, I don't have the money, or we don't have the time. And I just said, you know, honey, go get it. Go get your master's. So Linda reinvented herself. She's got a master's in marriage and family therapy, and she's now a licensed professional counselor, and her schedule is full all week, helping families, individuals with their marriages and their families. And that's what Linda does now, full time. We stayed active while we were in the Army in a local church called Grace Bible Church. I was an elder there over the last 8 years, and we've recently gone through another transition in our call and ministry. But that's Linda there doing great things at Fort Hood with families, and then just some shots of us over the years that we share with. I got a tractor now. That was cool. So we have a ranch out in East Texas. And I tell you, getting a tractor just, whoa, did I hit that? No, that's good. Getting a tractor takes it to a whole other level. I mean, it's one thing to dig post holes like this. It's another thing when you can back your tractor up and go, you know, in like 30 seconds you get a hole. So cool. And we're fishing in the Gulf Coast. We're paddle boarding on the lower Colorado River that goes through Austin. That's the middle picture, and then our tractor. And that's some shots of the ranch, the work we're doing out there. And I'm sitting on a longhorn. Yes, that is a longhorn. That's a real longhorn. But here's Peter. He went to NDSU after he was at BSC here. So, you know, Peter's an amazing story of grace because he's straight off the path, you know, in his high school years here, like many of us do. And I think that's probably why y'all were so gracious and didn't throw stones at us, because we understand that sometimes our kids get off the path. And God's grace never gives up. God is always reaching out and loving our kids and loving us whenever we get off the path. And Peter got back on the path. Thanks be to God, and thanks for your love. I remember we had a big celebration here one day, and, you know, we put a ring on his finger and gave him a new suit coat, and we had fajitas that day, steaks. We had a steak fest, and we celebrated the prodigal son coming home. He went on to get a scholarship at BSC, for a couple years, and then he went on to NDSU, full scholarship there, drum major of the band, that's him, doing the Hussein Bolt. Y'all remember when that was popular and got to be the drum major. Well, then he met a girl at NDSU from Valley City, and that's not her. Did I say, yeah, I meant Grand Forks. I said Valley City, didn't I? She's from Grand Forks. Sorry about that, Diane. And they graduated together. She was in the band, Diane from Grand Forks. And they got married that summer. I mean, they graduated and got married 2 weeks later. Then they went to India, of all places. So they spent 4 years teaching music in India at a school there called Woodstock School for diplomats and diplomats that come to Delhi, and they got kids and they put them in this boarding school. So they taught there for 4 years and then moved to Texas with their babies. They have two babies, our two grandsons, and Peter teaches music now in Texas. Diane's with the babies at home. And because of their time in India, Linda and I went to India, not once, but twice. That was not on my geographical or my spiritual radar to go to India, but I went to India, Mike. It was so cool. Yeah, it was awesome. We had a good time over there in India with them, hanging out with them. And then there's our sweet Anne Marie. She graduated from University of Mary Hardin Baylor, which is not U of M here that you all know, but it's down in Belton, Texas. And she is a behavioral health specialist. She loves the outdoors, and some pictures of her hanging out with her family, likes to run. And then there's our little Holly. Our little Holly, she used to run around with Katie Alt, and we called them Salt and Pepper, you know, because blonde hair and dark hair, and they're running around having a great time together. We used to have a school here called Noah's Ark, and I remember my first year here as Pastor Jared, we had this Noah's Ark school, and one day the director brought in these two wild kids and said, I can't control these two kids, Pastor. I'm going to send them in to you to meet with them. And it was Holly and Katie. They had locked themselves in the restroom, and they wouldn't come out, you know. So we had a little talk. Get her back on track. No, but Holly married Gabriel. He's on the right there. And Holly's in the Army. Gabriel's in the Army. So there's Holly on the right. She just jumped out of a perfectly good airplane 3 times to qualify to be airborne. And she's on the left. She's working on her doctorate in physical therapy. So she's going to be a physical therapist. So that's what Holly does. And some more shots there, Holly. And there's kind of where that middle picture, you see that white truck? I still have that white truck. Y'all remember, I bought that white truck in North Dakota after my first deployment to Iraq, and I love that truck. I just got farm plates for it. It says Texas, you know, Texas farm truck. And it's going to retire to the ranch and be our work truck. Just some pictures there of the family. And I wanted to give y'all an update, you know, of what's going on with our family, because they couldn't be here, but Linda's here. And Linda and I, just 2 weeks ago, I was at the Alamo for a commissioning ceremony for a behavioral health officer. Linda was with me there for that. Later that day, we said the prayer for a new general that was promoted to Brigadier General in the Army, and that was up at Camp Mabry in Austin. And I came off active duty in December of this last year, December. And I was praying, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do next? You know, the funny thing is, okay, here's lesson number one. You cannot know the future. Have you figured that out yet? Something about God, the way God made us, one of our limitations is we cannot know the future. But you know who does know the future? God. God knows the future. And He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to trust Him with our future. So, whether you're young or old or anywhere in there, the full spectrum, we cannot know our future. Our Father wants us to trust Him to lead us into our future. And I know this, that He's always working for the good of those that love the Lord, and He's always working out His purposes in our lives. So I was praying about, what am I supposed to do? Maybe I'll be a hospital chaplain. Maybe I'll be a prison chaplain. Maybe I'll be, I don't know what I'm going to do. And through Linda's marriage and family therapy program, her supervisor, I met him. He's a senior pastor of a church in Georgetown, Texas. Georgetown is just north of Austin, so it goes Austin, Round Rock, Pflugerville, Georgetown. So it's part of the greater Austin area, and he's pastoring a church there. And so he said, hey, Maury, can you come fill in for me sometime and just preach for me? I'm like, sure. I go down there to preach, you know. Three services on a Sunday. It was a lot going on down there. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on down here. So I preached there a few times, and then he came up and had breakfast with me at 40. He says, what are you going to do when you come off active duty? I said, well, I'm still seeking the Lord about that. I don't know what we're going to do. And he throws down a job description in front of me. It says associate pastor. He says, I want you to come be my associate pastor. I want you to pray about it. So I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And anyway, to make a long story short, went through the call press process, just like here, search committee. Here we have the consistory, right? Well, there they have the board of directors, congregational vote, terms of the call. Same thing, just like coming here for us in 1997. And so I'm now the associate pastor at the Worship Place, Georgetown, Texas. And we're loving it. We're enjoying it. In fact, we're in the middle of a move literally right now. We're selling one house and buying another. So we're selling our Fort Hood house, and we're going to move down to Georgetown because we believe that lesson number two, you should live among the people that you're ministering to. God strategically positions you to minister to the people around you. So where you live is strategic. Just open your eyes, look up, and see the fields that are white unto harvest and how God wants you to build relationships with people, invest in them, love them, and help them on their journey. So God strategically relocating us to Georgetown, still in that greater Austin area where it all began. You know, Linda moved to Texas, you know, to marry me in Austin, so that was a long time ago. And grateful that happened in 1984. But the journey continues. And so part of our journey will always be coming back up here to Bismarck and saying hi to all you folks and spending a little time with you, because it was an important season of ministry in our lives, an important season of relationships, an important season of community. Right, Brad? Important season of community. We talk about spiritual community and how that transcends any one geographical location or any one period of time. You can have spiritual community for a lifetime. After all, that's what heaven really is. It's spiritual community for eternity. Amen? Okay, so I think, so I'm still in the Army. I'm in the reserves. I'm in a unit down in Houston. And then my full-time job is the suit job. You know, I wear a suit now, again. You know, I wore a suit. I'll never forget. I wore a suit at St. Paul Presbyterian Church. I came here, and the first Sunday I wore a suit. Somebody said, you don't really need to wear a suit here. So you look around, there aren't many suits in the room. Let's stop wearing suits. So now I'm back to wearing suits, Don. Back to wearing suits. So I thank God for you, Bismarck Community Church. Every time I remember you, I thank God for you in all my prayers. Pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome how God continues to work in our lives through all the seasons with all the different pastors that you have? And just want to say thanks for those great 14 years and loving us and giving us the opportunity to serve alongside you and love you and your kids and your parents, some of you, your parents, and good times. We truly only have joy and gratitude when we think of you. So please know that. Amen? All right, so now we get on with the message. And I don't have any slides for that. Oh, there's the Milliken family again. So the message today is from Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read the scripture, verses 4 to 6, and then I'll make some comments. I wanted to tell one more story. When we were candidating here, we came up in the summer of 1997, and we stayed at Linda's parents' house. They lived right here at Linda and Arlene's parents' house. They live right here in Bismarck on Atlas Drive. Anybody know where Atlas Drive is? Okay, a few hands. All right, so we stayed there, and I remember Norma, Linda's mom, she was so excited that we were here, and she, of course, would cook those enormous, amazing Norwegian meals. You know, so we're sitting down to the dinner table, and I'd never heard Norma pray before. And it was time to pray, so we sit down, and before we pray, she says, let's pray. I'll say the prayer tonight. And she says, Lord, bless Maury and Linda's mission to Bismarck. Amen. She was pretty excited that we were possibly coming up to Bismarck. So I just wanted to tell you all that story. I thought that was a great story. And one related to that is I was preaching on the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob recently. And I think it was it Jacob that, yeah, he married two wives. He had two wives, right? And the first one he didn't get. You know, he got her older sister. And so he had to labor 7 years for Laban for his first wife and seven more years for his second wife. So 14 years that guy had to labor to get the one that he loved. And so it reminded me of another story, which was, I remember, you know, when I called Mr. Jorgensen to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, I said, I'm Mr. Jorgensen. You know, I love your daughter. We've been dating for over 2 years. We have a really strong relationship, and I love her very much. And so I'm calling to ask your blessing on our marriage and ask permission to marry your daughter. You know what he said? Some things ought not to be rushed into. That was his answer. I said, 2 years, right? 2 years. 2 years we've been dating. Well, let me put her mother on the phone. So he puts Norma on the phone. And I tell her the story. You know, we've been dating 2 years. We've really done this right. We really love each other. We've even been through premarital counseling, pre-engagement counseling even. We're not even, you know, and I want to ask your daughter. It was coming up on February 14th, Valentine's Day. I want to ask your daughter to marry, if she'll marry me. And I need your blessing. I'd like your blessing. I'm kind of traditional about that. And so would you give me your blessing to marry your daughter? And she says, well, some things ought not to be rushed into. Okay. So Art gets back on the phone, and I said, well, unless you have a strong objection, on February 14th, I'm going to ask your daughter to marry me. No, we're not saying that. I'm just saying some things ought not to be rushed into. I still don't know if 100% know what that meant, but I took that as the best blessing I was going to get. And ask her to marry me. And she said yes. Fast forward 10 years. So 10 years later, we're in Austin, Texas. We've got three little babies around the kitchen table. Peter, Anne-Marie, Holly in the little chair there. And I'm feeding them breakfast. And Linda's out running errands or something. And Norma's in the kitchen. I used to call her her strategic command position in the kitchen. You know, she's always in the kitchen doing something. And so she looks at me taking care of the babies. And she says, Maury, you do love your family. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's been 10 years. Yeah, I love my family. And she says, and Art was over reading his Popular Mechanics over in my chair. You know, he's over there in the living room reading Pocket. And she says, you're laughing because you know Art and Norma. That's Elmer and Diane Heipel over there, Linda and Arlene's cousins from New Leipzig. They came all the way over from New Leipzig this morning. And so Norma looks at me and she says, Maury, we love you too. 10 years it took me to get that blessing. 10 years. So another learning lesson this morning, hang in there, the blessing will eventually come. Just be faithful and do what God calls you to do and love the people he calls you to love, and the blessing will be there. So here's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Listen and hear God's word. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So thoughts on the unity of the church. So Ephesians is written from what I call theology from above. It's high theology, God looking down on the way he sees the church. He looks down. And I'm sorry to disappoint anybody, but he doesn't see Catholic, Protestant, Presbyterian, Methodist, Reformed, Pentecostal. He doesn't see that. He sees the body of Christ for which Christ died. That's what God looks down and sees, right? And then we down here, we do theology from below, and we sort ourselves out and organize ourselves in affinity groups called denominations. And then we fight about silly things. And some things are kind of important, but most of it really isn't all that important. But along the way, sometimes we miss this important perspective, and that is the unity of the church, that from God's perspective, we are one. And he really doesn't care about the color of the carpet or the square footage of the church building. He wants us to be good stewards, yes. But we so often let little silly things get in our lives and divide us and distract us and get us off track. And I can't tell you how many churches, you know, and you've probably been or seen or experienced or heard about how oftentimes people will let their preferences and their issues, they bring their own personal issues into the church and allow the church to become divided. And I just thank God for the cooperation, collaboration, the good communication that we enjoyed here in order to maintain the unity of the church. I know that Jared works on that. I know that Ron worked hard on that. I know that it's something that we're all committed to, because the devil loves to divide and destroy churches, and that can happen through division. You know, and it just starts with a little seed of discontent. It starts with a little seed of unforgiveness, a little seed of bitterness. Because what does Jesus say? That a little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough, right? It works through the whole, a little bit works into the whole process, into the whole organism, into the whole system. So that's kind of theology from below. Theology from below, that's where Paul's in Corinthians talking about. Well, some of you say, I follow Paul, and some of us follow Josephus, and some of us follow this, and I follow Christ, and I'm the best of all of you. I am the Christian, you know. You have all these little competitions, and Paul calls them to this theology of unity, theology of being one. And so I just wanted to remind us all this morning that we are one in Christ. And sometimes you have to fight for that. Sometimes you have to fight to maintain. I would rather fight for unity any day than to fight for division. Division is ugly, it's toxic, it's nasty, and it often comes out of some strange motives. And so Linda and I just went on a tour to Germany, walking in the footsteps of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the great reformer. He was a Catholic priest and saw some problems in the church and prophetically addressed those problems. And I don't think he intended to create a whole other church, but eventually this whole other church emerged called the Lutheran Church, Luther's Church. So we walked in those footsteps and looked at that, and I thought, well, you know, I guess there are some extraordinary circumstances where through a prophetic voice there will come about different wineskins for different seasons of wine, right? Jesus taught us about wineskins and wine, that you got to have the right wineskin or a new wineskin to catch the new wine. If you take old wineskin or new wine and put it in an old wineskin, it's going to burst and both will be ruined. The wine skin will be ruined and the wine will be ruined. So when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of like denominations. Denominations come and go. And I don't mean to stand up here and be anti-denominational. I'm just saying that, you know, from God's perspective, from theology from above, he is more interested in the wine, in the new life of Christ flowing in and through us and through our churches, rather than how we are aligning ourselves in our church polity. But church polity is kind of important. It's just not as important as, you know. Again, that's theology from below. So I go back to, we are one church. So when God looks down on Bismarck and Mandan today, is he seeing all the individual little churches? Yeah, he's pretty smart. He sees that. But he's smarter than that too. He's God, right? So he looks down and he sees his church. Many different little manifestations all over the place. There's house churches, there's Catholic churches, Protestant churches, all kinds of churches. There's churches that don't meet on Sunday. There's all kinds of different churches. But they're all churches and people for whom Christ died. And so that's the basis of our unity. And that's something that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. He prayed for the unity of church. He prayed that people would be won over and convinced by our love for one another, that we rise above our petty differences, our preferences, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, our disappointment, our heartbreaks and our heartaches. We stop throwing stones at each other. We stop judging one another. We start giving each other a break. We show each other grace. That's the kind of stuff that wins the world over to Christ. That's the kind of thing, stuff that people look at and they go, wow, if that's what it means to be a Christian, that's what I want to be. That's, I want to follow Christ too. So there's a joyful witness in our commitment to unity that wins the world. So from God's perspective, he looks down on Bismarck Community Church, and I don't know all the things that are going on in the church, the life of the church right now, but just be encouraged that there is strength in our unity, there's strength in our faith. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So you think about these things. You know, Paul strings them all together here to just emphasize our oneness and our unity. So today we're going to have communion. And I thought about a way to prepare for communion is to think about this message of unity. And Paul writes in other places, you know, when you come to the Lord's table, and you realize in your heart that, you know, things aren't right in your marriage or in your relationship with a kid or another member of the church, that you take a moment and you reflect on that, and maybe you ask God to change your heart. Maybe we need to ask God to forgive us for our holding grudges and making false judgments and looking down on others and discriminating and preferring and all those things that cause division, and look into our hearts and ask for God's forgiveness and ask for God to be working in our hearts at the table to bring forth a newness of life that creates new possibilities in our marriages, in our families, in our churches. I think that family is a great image for us for the unity of the church. Because, you know, the things that I do that are toxic in my marriage will contribute to the success or the failure of the marriage, right? And then that sets the conditions for our family life. Because our kids are always watching. Our kids are growing up in that context, that little context called family. And the way that we treat each other is significantly more profound than anything we would teach them, because we're teaching them by how we live and how we treat each other. And so the family is a little microcosm of unity. And the Bible describes the union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. So there's unity there in the marriage. There's unity in the family. And then there's unity among families in the church. So really, the church is a gathering, a collection of families. And you don't have to be married and have kids to be a part of the family. It's you're part of the family. It's a collection of families. So our families of origin, how we're raised, how we think, how we grow up, the functions or dysfunctions that we learn in our families, we bring into the church life. And pastors have to deal with that. We get to deal with the functions and the dysfunctions of church families. And so one of the things that we're always working on, and I know that Jared's always working on this very hard, is to resolve our differences, encourage people to forgive and let go of the grudges, always have a positive vision of faith and the future and moving forward to build, strengthen, restore the unity of the church. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Be a unity builder. How are you building the unity of the church? You know, or through your grumbling and complaining, which the Bible says you shouldn't do. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. But through your grumbling and complaining, you're expressing your freedoms. You've got freedom of speech, and you're expressing your religious preferences, and you've got freedom of religion. Is that really, though, building the unity of the church? So you can exercise your constitutional rights and not build the unity of the church. But why not do both? Why not exercise your constitutional rights and be a unity builder? And all that means is just looking, rising above the problems, rise above, and work towards solutions rather than creating more problems. So that's my challenge to you this morning. And it starts with our own hearts and our own relationship with Christ, and that's what the table reminds us of. The table reminds us that not only are we broken, but the body is broken. And the body is healed through the brokenness of Christ on the cross. And we're forgiven, and that forgiveness is very costly when we are forgiven and when we forgive each other, because it cost Christ his blood, his lifeblood poured out, flowed out for our forgiveness. So, Jared, you want to come up and do communion with me this morning? We're going to do that. Yeah.